listening to the Fantasy Fade Route. We are going to break down some of week one. We're going to dive into week two. Joining me, Kwafo Adakpa and Jason Moschel. Kwafo, Jason, what's going on, guys?
What's up, guys? Good to be back. Week two. Week one's already in the books. Let's go. Week two. Let's get it going.
Yeah, let's get it.
Yeah, so, you know, we got some things to talk about week one. It was not what people expected. That's what we put out there early on last week was, you know, don't think you know everything going into week one. And the Saints, Lions, the Chiefs, there's some teams that definitely threw some wrench into people's survivor pools and even fantasy lineups. So, you know, real quick to recap a couple of those, the Bucs and Saints get into a shootout. And the Saints' defense just falls apart. Really inopportune fumbles, things like that. The Bucs managed to win one. Knocked me out of a couple survivor pools. I know about a third of the people out there in survivor pools lost on that one. And you got
Tampa? I was going to say, do we think that's got to be an aberration, right? I mean, New Orleans is pretty good from what we think.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been a week one trap game, even though that's kind of hard to do. But, you know, I think they just thought we're so much better than this team. And the Bucs came right out and smacked them in the mouth and scored points early. And they were trailing the whole game. So just one of those things that gets away from you.
It's that Fitz magic or Fitz tragic. He's either going to throw five touchdowns or five picks.
So. We said it last week.
Those were your exact words, Jason. Yeah. So. And you know, people are going to chase that, and I'm not sure that's smart. But then, you know, the Chiefs, Pat Mahomes, he proved to be a little bit legit. Scored a lot of points. The only Chief that was really a disappointment was Kareem Hunt. But the play calling was really interesting, and I retweeted some of it from a Chiefs guy who does some of the film breakdown on Twitter. They did a lot of creative running plays. They ran, you know, some three back sets, the diamond formation. They ran a lot of flip tosses to Tyreek Hill, who just the Chargers had zero answer for. He ran wild, both catching the ball and rushing the ball. So,
every time you looked up, he's scoring another touchdown. I mean, the guy is he was running through free, untouched. I mean, Tyreek the Freak really showed out in week one there.
Yeah, and you know, it's like the Chargers, I thought that they were a bad team against the run, and it turns out it was going to be Tyreek Hill to benefit from that, not Kareem Hunt. But yeah, you know, if you got a guy that the other team just doesn't have an answer for, you keep going to him until they can stop him, and they couldn't. And then lastly, your Detroit Lions there, Kwafo, letting you down. They you were in the building.
Can I take just 30 seconds, guys, right here? 30 seconds. This is, I'm 40 years old. This is 40 years of frustration. The Lions haven't been good in a whole long time. There's generations of kids that don't know anything other than subpar football. I mean, you start the game, perfect score, a pick six, you know, Quandre Diggs runs it back. The building's electric. We're jumping. We're high-fiving everything. And then the wheels fall off the bus. It's ridiculous. I've seen nothing out of Matt Patricia that I like. And I know it's week one, and we're going to talk about not reading too much into week one. But, man, oh, man, if I've got to watch that for 15 more weeks, I'm going to pick up a new hobby because that is awful, awful, awful football. They just laid down through most of the third quarter. And people were leaving in droves. And we love football. It's the Midwest. We love football. We love watching football. Our college teams, our pro teams, even our high school teams. That was atrocious. Okay, yeah. I feel better now.
They showed on the national TV, the Jets fans filed in to the lower section behind the Jets bench and did some Jets chants. You know, that's not a good sign when they can fill up the entire section in the late third quarter.
Well, they if you look at all the media coming out today and the quotes from, like, Dron Lee, I mean, the Jets defense knew the Lions plays as soon as they were in the formation, like, all game long. I mean, that just can't happen. So I know
I don't know who that's on. Patricia's a defensive coach. I get he's the head coach. You know, Jim Bob Cooter, don't know if it's just a predictable offense. He didn't change anything. Yeah, maybe he's not playing his full hand because he didn't win the head coaching job. There's maybe some trouble in paradise there.
Oh, yeah, a lot of trouble. When you look at the division and you look what Chicago did at least for a half, you look at what Minnesota did against San Francisco, it's going to be sleeping time for the Lions pretty quick here. Yeah, so
I was not impressed with Patricia. You know, he did this with the Patriots a lot last year. Like, they got outmatched in a lot of games. I know they didn't have the personnel, but, you know, he'd sit there with that kind of stupid look on his face, and he'd take his pencil out and scribble and, you know, stroke his beard, whatever he does. And, like, meantime, they're just getting shredded. They were one of the worst defenses for a long stretch last season. I don't know why we do this with Patriots assistant coaches. Like, every time there's another one that gets a head coaching job, we think this guy's going to be great. He came from Bill Belichick. It turns out they're just carrying Bill Belichick's water.
And, yeah, you know, they always struggle. Like, I mean,
there's not like one successful coach. The only guy who's had sustained success at the pro level is Bill O'Brien, and you know he's a bit of a train wreck in his own right.
Right, he's almost succeeds despite himself. Yeah, it was. I appreciate the little left turn we're taking here, but that was just bad. You know, the folks I was with, we've seen it so many times. That, you know, Barry Sanders is in the building. He's trying to fire people up. It was bad. It was bad news. So.
And the one thing that really chaffed me about Patricia is in the third quarter there, they had him on TV and they just had like a failed offensive series. And he turns around and yells at a couple of, you know, fifth string players that were kind of standing or sitting to go with their position group and, you know, talk about what's going on. And when a bad coach is frustrated, that's what he does. He yells at players. A real coach talks to people.
Yeah, that's the Bush League. I'm not about that life. So it really portends bad. If we want to bring it back to fantasy, portends pretty bad. Again, it's only week one, but Stafford, who, you know, has put up really good numbers over his career, Kerryon Johnson, LeGarrette Blount, I know got banged up in the game. The only bright spot was probably Kenny Galladay. There's a lot of drops in the receivers. Yeah, Baby Tron, definitely. So he's a bright spot going forward, but this team was pretty putrid. So
Stafford's going to be good to go. A little bit of a knee hyperextension.
Yeah, it looked pretty gruesome in person. It looked I wouldn't want to take that hit, but no. So far so good. It looks like he's good to go out in San Francisco this week.
All right. That bodes well, I think, at least for week two for them. They're lost without him. But let's do a little section here. We're going to do some panic buttons, some players that we're panicked on, and then we'll follow it up with some guys that we don't think you need to panic on at all. Nice way to transition this week into next week. So, Quaffo, if you're ready to go, lead us off with somebody you're panicking on.
There's a couple different situations that I'm panicking on, and if I'm a fan of these teams outside of fantasy, you might want to pick up another hobby for the rest of the fall. Starting in Big D with Dallas, the whole offense, Zeke included, we talked about through the preseason, wide receiving core, nobody's really emerged. They showed me nothing against Carolina, pretty ho-hum game. I know we talked about how that game script would probably play out, and it kind of played out the way we thought. But Dak Prescott, selling on these shares, Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, you know, for DFS purposes, he's priced, you know, as a superstar, but he's a guy I'm going to probably fade a good majority of the time because everything is centered on him, and I don't see a path forward for Dallas this year, especially given their division and given their schedule. So I'm a full panic button on Dallas. Another situation, we talked about it before. I'm going to stay on message with this. The guys in Seattle, I know they acquitted themselves a little better than I might have thought against Denver, but I don't like the signs in Seattle at all. I think Russell Wilson is probably a play away, and I know you can say that about any player, but Russell Wilson with the offensive line they have there, with the mess they have at running back, Doug Baldwin's out for a couple more weeks, it looks like. You have Brandon Marshall, who's running on gas and fumes. You know, the tight end play was better, but Seattle's in for a rude awakening. I'm gonna keep saying that until proven otherwise. So full panic for Seattle, given their schedule, given, you know, they've got the Rams a couple times, They got the Niners full panic there. And then obviously this goes without saying, if you watch a Sunday night game, everything in Green Bay revolves around number 12. So in the event he misses any significant time, huge downgrade to all the skill position players in Green Bay. So I'm panicking big time. And I might even panic even if he plays because he's going to be hampered. I mean, we got, you know, the knee injury already, and he may have aggravated it more in that second half in the comeback. I'm really, if I, you know, for season long, if I've got Aaron Rodgers, I'm really trying to hedge my bet and figure out who I can play behind him. And then if I own shares of, you know, Davante Adams, any of the running backs in Green Bay, Jimmy Graham, full panic on the whole Green Bay offense.
Yeah, we'll find out on that one tomorrow, being Wednesday. We're taping Tuesday night. You know, that's when the official medical reports are due. You know, it may be something inconclusive. My guess is it's not severe enough. You know, if he was able to come back out on it, they're going to say he's day-to-day. He's probably going to have limited practice. It's Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't need it. So it's going to be a messy situation going into the weekend there.
Agreed.
And then, you know, Seattle, same page. They no playmakers left on that team on either side of the ball. They lost so many of them over the last season or two. And outside of Russ, I'm not looking too far into any Seahawks in many rosters.
And Russ can't do it all, right? I mean, Russ's got to have someone to throw to and got to have somebody to run the ball. He can't do it all. So I see bad clouds out in the Pacific Northwest.
And then Jason, you were on with the Dallas fade a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, Zeke had a, you know, he's still 4.6 yards per carry, but only 15 carries. Like, that whole offense, like, they can't hold on to the ball. They can't move the ball at all.
Yeah.
And if you can't move the ball, if you're doing three and out, like, it's not going to be a good situation for him. Yeah.
The evolution of Jason Garrett as a coach is so crazy. He was one of the bright minds of the NFL, like when he was coming up as a coordinator, and he just caved Jerry Jones and said, "All right, you want me to run the Emmitt Smith offense? Like, I'll do that. You write the checks, I'll run the offense you want me to run." And there's zero creativity there.
Yeah, for years it's been like, "Oh, this is the year Dallas is going to make it back to the Super Bowl. This is the year every year." And now you're just like, oh man, what are they doing?
Yeah. So yeah, you know, Zeke, big concern. Unless it's a really plus matchup, that OL isn't healthy. They're all kind of nicked up a little bit along the line. They, you know, obviously the situations with Travis Frederick and Zach Martin. Teron Smith doesn't seem 100% healthy. For me, somebody I'm panicking on is going to be Royce Freeman. You know, we were all really excited last week. He won the starting job. He was named the starter. You didn't see that happening necessarily week one with the Denver staff being kind of conservative. They pushed Devontae Booker to the side, being the vet, knowing that Freeman was probably the better playmaker. The panic button part for me comes in where Philip Lindsay had a great preseason, and all of a sudden he's making plays in game. Get the same amount of carries. He can catch the ball. He's not, you know, he's a smaller back. He's 5'8", 5'9", something like that. But if he siphons passing work and rushing work from Freeman, you know, that's the concern. Because I personally started paying for Freeman as the preseason ended, you know, like he was a starting running back, fifth round pick, somewhere around there. So, you know, I've got a little bit of concern with Lindsay eating into that.
So I think I differ a little bit from you on that one. I you know, follow the Broncos. That's the 1A to my 1B train wreck in Detroit is I've been a Broncos fan probably since, you know, 86, 87. The running back situation there is as fluid as always, but I like the talent with Royce Freeman, and I you know, Lindsay had a lot of burst, a lot of pop. They did the, you know, about 50-50 split, but I still again, I'm not going to overreact to week one and the play there in Seattle. I like Freeman long term. I think we can pretty much cast aside Devontae Booker unless there's some sort of injury to one of the other two guys. But I like Freeman as a play. And I think even this week as a play when we get to the game-by-game breakdowns, I like Freeman. A lot of people are going to be off of him, kind of as you've laid out. with the thought that it's a full-on timeshare. But I like Royce Freeman. I think they've got the role for him early downs.
And they kept going to him. You know, yeah. They had the lead. They're trying to close that game out. And they did still went to him. And he put up 15 for 71 in that situation with stacked boxes. So, you know, against the Seahawks, who they still have a couple of decent linebackers, a couple of decent linemen. To be able to pull that off as a rookie in your first game is a little bit of a positive sign.
And that's what I think. Really? I mean, the talent is there. The talent is there with the kid. So go ahead, Jason.
Really,
sorry.
Really, all I have to do is phase Booker out. Once you phase Booker out, you know, you can pretty much just give those touches to Freeman, and then right. It's more like a 60-40 split. And that'll, you know, then you're talking about 20 touches or whatever a game. So that's.
That doesn't seem far off. And then you had a fade, Jason, or a panic button?
Yeah, I've got two real quick ones. It's just all the tight ends. It's another one of those all those teams like Mariota, that injury he had. You kind of like lose the feeling in your hand, like he couldn't feel the football. So when your quarterback's hurt like that, who's their backup? I mean, they don't have one. Like,
I think it's Blaine Gabbert.
It is. That's what I'm saying. They don't have one. And
you are correct. There is no backup there.
You know, Delanie Walker going down, that's always been Mariota's go-to guy. So that's going to hurt their offense. And then, you know, all their wide receivers are always kind of like cheap options. And Deion Lewis is probably going to be affected. Derrick Henry didn't really do a whole lot. He ran really fast. I think he was the second fastest player this week besides Tyreek Hill. So,
in game speed?
Yeah.
Nice, 20, I didn't know that.
Almost 22 miles an hour.
Wow.
21.
Yeah, big train gets moving.
Yeah, on a 2-yard run. That's pretty quick. But
what do you guys think about Deion Lewis there? I know you got the panic on Mariota, but what about Deion Lewis? I know, Jason, I'm going to you because of your Patriots, you know, fandom.
I was watching that game. I watched a lot of it, and didn't watch the whole thing. I was kind of flipping around, but he was pulling off some you know, Bo Jackson Tecmo Bowl spin moves and stuff.
There we go. There we go.
It was pretty fun to watch. But yeah, I mean, they just got dismantled by the Dolphins. I mean,
yeah, not a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, if they can't keep up with a team like that, then they're in the same boat with the Lions, you know.
I will say this about that game. With the rain and the extended delay, the Mariota injury, it's just such a weird week one. Like, you're barely prepared week one, so to have to deal with a weather delay, which doesn't really happen in the NFL very often, and then, you know, like I said, going to Blaine Gabbert, like, I'm willing to cut them some slack going into week two. They've got a tough divisional matchup with the Texans, whose defense didn't look that bad against the Patriots. So, you know, it's an uphill climb for sure. But Mariota, if it was only a, you know, kind of like a stinger to the elbow, if he's able to grip the ball fine, I think there's better days ahead. But, yeah, definitely a concern. I got a lot of Mariota all over the place in best ball.
Yeah, me too. Another person that I'm like really worried about, John Gruden said today that it's easier said than done to make Amari Cooper good, basically. And what, he had one catch. I mean, one catch for 9 yards. And if John Gruden is going to all these old guys and they're signing Martavis Bryant, because he's still eligible until he gets suspended, which they know he's going to get suspended. So doesn't make sense. But one throw to Amari Cooper, and it's the best receiver on your team, and you're losing the game in that second half. Like, I'm super worried about that.
Yeah, it doesn't get that much easier week two going against the Broncos. You know, they lost to Lee, but they're still a very solid secondary.
Yep. Very stout back there with Chris Harrison moving him around. Very, very stout.
After that, they get the Dolphins, so there may be some light at the end of the tunnel, as long as it doesn't monsoon in Miami again.
Yeah.
All right, then just real quick, we'll give a couple players we're not panicking on. For me, my guy would be Alex Collins. That game was over before it had begun. He did fumble. He got benched for a little bit. But they're playing Thursday night this week. So, you know, if I'm reading the tea leaves, it's the coaching staff said, you know what, we got to get this guy ready for Thursday. There's no reason to make him take any extra punishment here. And they just let Buck Allen and Kenny Dixon finish out the game. Kenneth Dixon and got hurt in the game. I think it's a quad or a hammy, something like that. He's not practicing this week already. So Collins is the feature back there with a little bit of work going to Buck Allen in the passing game. Kuafo, who are you not panicking?
Two players, both, well, one from each conference. Jimmy GQ, Jimmy Garoppolo. I know, tough out week one and against Minnesota. Had the nice touchdown pass to Pettis. But, you know, all in all, not the greatest day. He's going to be in the get-right spot against the Lions, I think, on Sunday at home for the home opener. So not worried about him long-term. I still think I'm a believer in his talent, so I'm not worried about him. And then Kareem Hunt. I know we talked a little bit about him, but, you know, they've got Spencer Ware back there. They have some playmakers all over the field. We like what we see with Mahomes. I think, you know, don't overreact to sort of the pedestrian numbers in week one for Kareem Hunt. Still like him for, you know, probably upward of 1,200 yards this year, you know, double-digit touchdowns between running and pass and pass catching. So don't panic on Kareem Hunt at all.
Yeah, and you knew that was going to happen with Andy Reid. You know, he always kind of has running backs that have great weeks and then – weeks they disappear, especially if he's got options that he can mix in, like Ware. So,
exactly. Stay the course with the whole Kansas City offense. And I think they're going to be in a lot of shootouts because I'm not sold on their defense. So,
Their defense is terrible.
Mahomes could have a great season having to play the way he does.
Yep.
And then what do you got, Jason, for somebody you're not panicking?
So I'm not really panicking on T.Y. Hilton yet. Andrew Luck, I think it all goes back to just Andrew Luck just being a little bit rusty. T.Y. still got, he was 5 for 11, 46 yards, I think. Yep. 5 for 11, 46 yards. The touchdown kind of saved his week.
Andrew Luck is still going to look for him above anyone else.
Yeah, Andrew Luck threw the ball 53 times in that game. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Way to ease him back in there, Colts.
Yeah, so T.Y. typically has like a almost 60% catch rate with Andrew Luck at the helm, you know, if you go back 2 years ago. So that just seems like an outlier.
I've got T.Y. in a couple of spots, mostly best ball. For me, that's the ideal place to have him. He's great at home. No panic for me there either. All right, let's dive into the games. Start breaking them down spot by spot. The Thursday game, as we alluded to, Ravens visiting Bengals in Cincinnati. 44 is the line. Ravens are favored by a point here. You know, I don't think the Bengals are a very good team. I don't know if the Ravens are as good as they were this past weekend. Like Alex Collins, the Bengals are a little bit of a run funnel. They've got a solid back end. But their linebacking and some of their D-line has issues against the run. So that's about the only Raven I'm interested in. Anything for you guys on this one?
One thing with Alex Collins, they pretty much just like sat him the whole second half because they were playing Buffalo.
Yep.
So they didn't need him. They were blowing him out. So they just sat him and just used it like a preseason game. You know, you saw Lamar Jackson come in and throw the ball around. With the Thursday game, like they were already prepping for this Thursday game by sitting all their starters the second half, you know.
You know who I like on the Baltimore side here, just thinking about this through? I mean, Collins, good play. Yeah, for Flacco, I'm probably staying away from. But to get some shares of the offense that may go maybe under-owned, what about Crabtree here? I like Michael Crabtree's ability. He's out of Oakland and out of that mess. He's productive when he's on the field. Cincinnati is just, I don't think, a disciplined team in the back seven. I mean, I like Crabtree maybe here to go maybe 4 or 5 catches, 70, 80 yards, and maybe a touchdown. So yeah, I like Crabtree. He's a nice little, you know what you're getting with him. He's a nice player, I think, for if you're gonna pick a Baltimore player.
Yeah, he's a decent bet for some red zone work, and he's the only new receiver to have not caught a touchdown yet, so yeah, he might get one this week. All right, then moving on here, we got the Eagles visiting the Buccaneers. 44 is the line. you know.
Hey, Mike, real quick, on Cincinnati, did we have any? Because I just had a couple guys on Cincinnati. Just going back to that game real quick.
Yeah, go ahead, shoot on that.
Yeah, just I don't know if I can trust Andy Dalton. It's going to be up and down with him all season, but I think I do like Joe Mixon. Both in this game long term, in both fronts, I like Joe Mixon a little bit here. His role is defined. I always like those situations where the role is defined for the player.
He played well. Got 2 touches. That was crazy.
Right. I think they know what they have in the second year guy in Mixon. I like him as a play on a Thursday night slate. I don't know if I on a Thursday Monday slate that I would go to Mixon immediately. But I like putting Mixon maybe even in that captain spot. I think he finds the end zone as well on Thursday.
I was so mad last year when Cincinnati drafted him because he was like my favorite out of all the rookie running backs. And then it's like he goes to a place where they just don't use a rookie. Like, oh, you're a rookie. They didn't use either one of their star rookies.
Yep. Same thing with Nick Chubb this year. He's probably the best pure runner, and he goes to a backfield where he's the third string guy. Yeah, then you had John Ross there too, bailing people out. He ran a nice route. It was actually a really nice fade route from the goal line. He used his speed to get to the corner, but you know I think John Ross is going to be an up and down option all year. I'd be careful there. Yeah, moving on here, the Eagles visiting the Bucs. 44 is the line. Eagles are favored by 3.5. Yeah, you know, Nicky Foles is not. If it's not the playoffs, I guess he just doesn't turn it on. I'm not really sure.
He is who we thought he was, right? I mean, that's Nick Foles. This is what he does. This is who he is. I mean, that opener was.
He's a game manager. I mean,
he had the run of his life last year in the playoffs, and this is what he is. He's probably a fine American, but he's not. You know, he's not the guy I'm looking at in any DFS, any kind of format with Nick Foles.
Yeah, and you know, and they kind of stole a win last week, the Eagles. So they can afford to run him out there another week, especially against a team like the Bucs.
Isn't he still hurt, Nick Foles? Isn't he still like a little beat up?
Yeah, they said they'd make an announcement tomorrow, I believe, on the quarterback. I think unless he's struggling.
Yeah, well, I mean, they can't play Wentz, so
right. It's kind of. I think they've already said he's ruled out for week two.
Yeah.
Either way, you know, I get a feeling this one could be pretty ugly, very similar to week one. The defense is going to try and put the team on their shoulders. Yeah, you know, I'm curious here. So, you know, with Fitzpatrick and a lot of the Buck receivers, it's a vertical attack. You know, it's Mike Evans on the fade route, Sean Jackson fade route. Godwin, same thing. He's a deep ball threat. The Eagles are a bend-don't-break defense, and even though they got gashed by Julio, he was doing a lot of his work underneath and just from a volume of targets. So I'm not on the same page, I think, as a lot of people kind of saying, like, you know, oh, we're going to get Evans and Godwin out there, and they're going to do the same thing this week. How do you guys feel on that?
You want to go, Jason?
Yeah, sure, why not? I'm trying to look up how many targets. Fitzpatrick is always, like I said, I mean, I'll say it every single week as long as he's the starter. Fitzmagic or Fitztragic.
Yeah, I mean, I went heavy on Saints defense targeting him. That was a suboptimal play this week, but at some point the defense playing him is going to be the top defense of the week by a lot with interceptions and fumbles. So I'll continue to target him. Probably not as heavy
this week. This is something that's stupid, but on my model, I had Fitzpatrick came up, like when I inputted my little formula to sort things out on my projections, Fitzpatrick came up as my number one quarterback last week. And I was like, there's no way I'm playing that dude. Yep. So that was obviously a mistake. Sometimes you just got to trust what the numbers say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he targets wide receivers. So, I mean, he's going to target Mike Evans a lot. He's going to do it every week. He's going to, yeah, that's really where kind of the only place to go. Chris Godwin,
Deshaun Jackson. So
Deshaun Jackson got a concussion.
He got a pretty bad concussion. At the end of the game. I'd be surprised if he plays. So Godwin, 4.6K. A lot of people are all over that because they're itching to play him because he is a talent.
Yeah, whenever one of those guys misses, he kind of goes ham too. So whenever Evans or Jackson misses.
We'll see. I'm not loving any of the Bucks being that they're probably a little chalky coming off of that dominant
performance. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then over on the other side, you've got Nelson Aguilar. He had 11 catches for like 30 yards, I think.
The anti-PPR campaign.
Yeah. If Foles keeps targeting him like that, he's not gonna average 3 yards a catch. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Mike Wallace looked washed. The only thing he was any good for was drawing pass interference deep. Ertz and Aguilar are the only game in town, I think, for the Eagles.
Well, yeah. I have one little addendum to that, I think, and it's a guy I probably play more than I should, and it's Jay Ajayi. Looked really good. You know, he got the 2 touchdowns in the opener. You know, either he's a guy that there's no in between on. People either love him or they hate him.
Yeah.
I like maybe how this sets up for him as a, you know, they have somewhat a limited, I think, hamstrung playbook with, as you said, a banged up Nick Foles, really only one true trusted receiver in Aguilar. I like Jay Ajayi as a mid range play.
He's always going to come down to touchdowns.
Yep, he's touchdown dependent, but on a site like FanDuel, where I know a lot of people in the lineup logic community play, he's a guy I would look to use, you know, to be a little contrarian.
They said they were going to make him the workhorse today, so.
They've been a rotation for 4 years now. I don't know if that changes from week one to week two.
It was real frustrating last week watching that. The Philly game, because every time I looked up, I was like, Darren Sproles is running the ball. Where's Jay Ajayi?
Yep. And, you know, Sproles looked fairly spry. You know, he didn't get anything done, but the staff trusts him, and he's a veteran, so.
Yeah, dude's the same age as me.
That's crazy. all right, then we got the Texans visiting the Titans in Tennessee. Don't have a line on this one yet.
I think that's probably weather-related, right? The hurricane is bearing down on Eastern Tennessee and I know the Carolinas and stuff like that. So I know they've already canceled some college games generally in the Southeast. So that might be that, or and it probably also is due to the Mariota news too. Trying to wait on that as well.
Right. I like Watson paired with Hopkins in this one. We said it last week about Kenny Stills. The Titans give up wide receiver one numbers more than anyone. If you have a wide receiver one going against the Titans, he has a crazy week. And Kenny Stills did it. Now they get DeAndre Hopkins. Sign me up for that stack.
Yeah, Will Fuller might be out again too. So if Will Fuller's out again, then that's like all the touchdowns go to Hop.
Yeah, Ryan Griffin actually did get a couple of red zone looks, which I know a lot of people were on him as a sleeper last week. Didn't pan out, but.
Yeah, he's been there for a couple of years, and it was him and Steven Anderson, and they would kind of like, one guy would be the guy, and you like play him for a couple weeks, and then he'd get hurt, so you play the other guy, and then they kept flip-flopping back and forth like that.
Then over on the Titans side, Corey Davis dominated the target share. That could get a little bit interrupted with Rishard Matthews really not getting a preseason, and each week that should shift a little bit. But that anytime Davis played last season, that was the case as well. He was the guy that got the primary targets. So, he had a tough matchup. I forget the Dolphins cornerback, but they have one solid corner. He did a fairly good job against Davis. I think the targets will continue for Davis, so he's not a bad bet. He's got high upside. And then the other guy people have gotten a lot of questions on are Jonnu Smith, the tight end replacing Welker. He is a bit of a spark athlete type guy. Really, really, for a tight end, exceptional athlete. He's got a nose for the end zone. As a rookie, he scored some touchdowns, and they really liked him. They got him involved, both when Walker was healthy and when he was hurt at times last season. So I'm not sure what his ownership's going to look like, being that he's a little bit less money, but if Mariota's good to go and the weather's not a concern, he's not the worst tight end.
Yeah, he's a big boy. He's looking on...
Yeah, and he can move.
Yeah, I'm looking on Player Profiler. I don't see his... oh, there it is. Pruitt is his best comp. But, yeah, he's big and fast.
Yep. There's not too much else to like in this game. I think the guys that are going to get the volume are your main plays.
Yeah. I mean, just the only two things I'd want to look at here, though, on both sides, you guys kind of ran through both Houston and Tennessee, the running backs, right? I mean, I'm not necessarily on Derrick Henry, but I am on Deion Lewis, and I am on Lamar Miller on the Houston side. So I think depending on what the weather looks like down there in Tennessee as well, this could be a slop fest of a game as well. Could be running heavy script.
Yep. All right, then we got the Colts visiting Washington. 45.5 is the line. Skins are favored by 6. Colts on the road. Andrew Luck, despite really high volume, a lot of it was less than 15 yards downfield. Whether that was rust or by design, playing it safe. I don't think that's going to change this week on the road. Washington's defense looked pretty solid against Arizona, who did not look good. But I think Washington's gonna try to dominate time of possession. They're gonna run Adrian Peterson. They're gonna mix in Chris Thompson when they need a play, which kind of takes away from the Washington receivers. Did you either of you guys catch much of the game between Arizona and Washington?
I saw some of it. I was really impressed with. Whatever Adrian Peterson's taking, I'm not saying he's taking anything, but whatever the dude's doing, I need some of that because he was running hard. He had the touchdown. They're even throwing it to him in the backfield when they, would spell Chris Thompson. I mean, the Redskins have a very good run defense. Right. I mean, Arizona is not a shabby run defense, and so I really am impressed. I feel like they're going to run Adrian Peterson into the ground just – see whatever's left, wring out that towel, right. See whatever's left there. So he's probably going to be a popular pick this week, but I like him against Indianapolis quite a bit, actually. He's bound to get 18 to 20 carries, a favorable game script. Alex Smith, was throwing it to him in the backfield as well, so out of the backfield, I should say. So, yeah. Who would have thought in 2018 we'd still be playing Adrian Peterson, but here we are.
And then Jordan Reed looks healthy. He scored a touchdown. It was a nice move to get to the pylon. And Alex Smith is already showing some love for his new tight end.
Yeah, Alex Smith to Jordan Reed all day.
So that's a good one. Jordan Reed's just a cut below some of the top-priced tight ends. But good touchdown upside. The one guy I think could be sneaky is Josh Doctson. He had a really tough matchup against the Cardinals. They got a pretty solid secondary with Patrick Peterson. He disappeared at times last year, but he's a guy who can catch a touchdown.
Yeah, he's a big red zone threat, but I probably wouldn't play him as long as Jordan Reed's healthy. If Jordan Reed comes out, because Jordan Reed's going to be, if he's on the field, he is the touchdown he's all the touchdowns there.
Yeah, he's one of the main red zone threats from the passing game.
And then with the Colts, Marlon Mack should be back this week.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, Wilkins what I'm didn't hearing. Do too much.
Yeah, Wilkins was terrible. Hines is tiny. He's just a pass catcher. You know, he's a Darren Sproles type.
Yeah, but he did well in that role this week, and you know, Luck not being able to really go downfield or not wanting to go downfield. Hines was not a bad floor play, so that could be the case again this week.
But Mac is, he's a lot better running back than Wilkins.
Yeah, definitely more explosive.
So that could definitely open up their game a little bit more. So.
And Eric Ebron, their wide receiver, too, scored a touchdown last week.
Yeah, the new Dante Moncrief.
Yep.
He's awful. I know he scored the touchdown, and I know I bemoaned playing Eric Ebron.
Did he play for the Lions, Quafo?
He may have had a stop here in the Motor City. So
he may have been a first-round pick.
He may have been that as well.
A top 10 first-round pick?
I think he was maybe 12th round or 12th pick that draft class. Passing on Odell Beckham. Don't get me started. Again, we already did our tilt on the Lions, but if I got to pick a tight end on Indianapolis, I go Jack Doyle. He got more snaps. He saw more of the field. He's a trusted source for Andrew Luck. If I'm going to play a tight end in this game, it would be from Indianapolis. It's going to be Jack Doyle more than Eric Ebron. But I think on balance, I'm more on the Washington side in this game than Indianapolis.
Yeah, I agree.
That's just following the targets. Like Doyle had 10 targets, Ebron had 5, but Ebron had that like Dante Moncrief stat line, 51 yards and a touchdown. I mean, that's the Dante Moncrief stat line. So
I like him better at home though. And moving on, the Vikings taking on the Packers in Green Bay. 46 is the line. Minnesota favored by 1.5 on the road here. A lot's going to come down to Rodgers, if he's 100% or not. Viking defense looked really good. They forced 3 turnovers out of Jimmy GQ, which is, that was the one reason I was not really fully on board with the Viking defense from a DFS standpoint, was I just didn't see the turnovers happening. They got after him. They made him make some poor decisions. Rodgers, for as good as he is, he's not immune to throwing a pick or two in a game that they have to chase.
Yeah, and Mike Zimmer, right, we know his defensive acumen, mixes coverages, does all those things, brings those exotic blitzes. If he's hobbled, if Aaron Rodgers, this, like you said, this all comes down to the health of number 12. If he's hobbled at all, Minnesota in a big way here, and positive game script for guys like Dalvin Cook, and we already know where I'm going to go at the quarterback position here with Captain Kirk Cousins. So I like the Minnesota offense on the road up in Green Bay to get the job done.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect out of that Packer defense because they were so bad the first half, and then they kind of figured it out. Mike Pettine's a new D coordinator there, so he might be figuring things out with the new defense as well. They just really didn't have a great pass rush. Clay Matthews is pretty much only good for a roughing the passer penalty these days. and that's a killer, man. That extends drives and turns into points so often. With all the new rules, like Clay Matthews for me, I don't even know if he would be more than a situational pass rusher on my defense.
And he doesn't even do that well, right? I mean, like you said, he gets the roughing the passer penalties. He doesn't really make impactful, disruptive plays anymore. So you wonder why
he stopped taking the good roids, and now he's just kind of an average rusher.
He needs to go see Adrian Peterson's people.
And that old man magic.
Yeah. But, I really like Minnesota here. All of what you said there, Green Bay's defense does nothing for me. They look really pedestrian against Mitch Trubisky on Sunday night. So give me the stack with Cook, Cousins, and then your pick of either Diggs or Thielen.
So, Jason, do you go Diggs or Thielen?
Do I go Diggs or Thielen? I'm just going with the touchdown upside of Diggs. I mean, Thielen's going to get the volume. but touchdowns, right. touchdowns make it.
So GPPs, Diggs, cash game stealing.
No, I probably just go Diggs everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like if it's a competitive game, Thielen, he stays involved.
Yeah, Diggs kind of, I mean, they can both go off, like, mm-hmm. at the same time. Like, that we saw it a lot last year.
That's true.
But when, I'd have to look into the actual cornerback matchup, see who's going to be up on Diggs. But Diggs is usually pretty, like, sensitive to cornerbacks. Yeah. Like, the team, it's not really, like, him, but they just kind of go away from him when he has a tough cornerback matchup.
They don't want to force throws.
And that's when Thielen has the, like, huge games, you know, the 160, 170 yard games.
Yeah, the Packers secondary did not impress me. They have not improved yet.
Cousins definitely a big upgrade over, the guys they had back there last year.
And then last spot for me on the Packers, Randall Cobb, if they are trailing, you see what he can do getting the ball in his hands. He's got target volume, again, if they're having to throw the ball. So he's a nice price. He's going to be popular, especially coming off of a huge stat line. But
seems like he just came back. He was, they were talking about him in trade talks, and yeah. I sort of just put him off to the side and really didn't even have him in the player pool. And he comes out and just has a great game. I mean, he's got that rapport with Rodgers. Rodgers trusts him, works that slot, works the middle of the field. So, if you're going to – if Aaron Rodgers plays, Randall Cobb, a decent option. When healthy, yes.
Moving on, we get the Browns taking on the Saints in New Orleans. The line is 50 on this one. That's, I believe, the high of the week. New Orleans favored by 9 again. But what are we doing here, guys?
I like a lot of action in this game. I mean, maybe New Orleans is back to being a porous defense. I mean, I don't want to make a lot of predictions after week one in terms of how this is going to be long term, but maybe they're back to having to be in these 40 to 37 shootouts. I mean, obviously they were in that kind of game with Tampa. I like both sides of the football here offensively. I mean, I like the Breeze, Kamara, Thomas stack, maybe even Watson at the tight end, because tight end is a train wreck in the league this year. Boy, oh boy. So, and then on Cleveland side, Josh Gordon going to get the full complement and reps there. It's indoors, so that helps. You're not going to have that weather situation you had up in Cleveland last week. Landry, the PPR monster. Hyde showed out well in week one. Njoku, both of these. This is goodness. I mean, that 50, the 50 over-under, I mean, the Vegas is telling you they like a lot of points in this game. And so I'm going to listen to the Vegas minds on this and, stack it away. It'll be pretty popular, though.
Yeah, I'm on that same page. I just feel like the Browns could go in there and browns things up and make it an ugly game. It just kind of like spoil your day. Not that it would be a 10-7 kind of game, but we're looking for 28-24 and all of a sudden you get 17-13.
Yeah, it's just I'm like looking at this. I haven't looked at the defensive stats from last week yet. I just like opened a page. That they didn't even, the Saints didn't even have a sack.
Yeah, it was like crazy.
Like not even one sack. Like the Raiders had a sack.
Right.
The Giants had a sack. The Seahawks had a sack.
They were worried about their pass rush coming into the season. And I was actually pretty shocked that they didn't grab Carl Nassib when he got cut by the Browns. They need bodies in that pass rush. And that's going to be an issue for them. Other teams can throw on them with impunity. It doesn't matter if you have Marshawn Lattimore back there. You give any receiver in the league time, the quarterback's going to find him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got, especially the guys like Landry. He's got floor and ceiling here. He could score a touchdown. Gordon is obviously a touchdown kind of play.
Yeah, he's starting. So it'll be Landry and Gordon in two wide receiver sets.
And then, you know, on the Saints side, Kamara and Mike Thomas showed that they're the main game. Nothing really out of the secondary receivers.
Yeah. Ted Ginn had a big game.
Yeah, he did. That's true. I guess I'm thinking more Traquan Smith and Cam Meredith being inactive. Like, they were the two offseason darlings. And you know, Smith gave you a zero, and obviously Meredith being inactive was a disappointment.
Yeah. I mean, part of me wants to fade a guy like Alvin Kamara just because he's so popular, but you can't deny the talent. He was so good. I mean, I didn't play him in week one to my own detriment. I mean, but he just – yeah, you just can't. It's pretty much lock button and move on. I mean, he's so talented in the pass game, run between the tackles. He does it all for him.
I think pretty quickly you're going to see people saying, why wasn't Kamara the number one pick this season? I've already seen people saying he's third in redraft for next season. That could be one by season's end.
Yeah.
And then I like your Ben Watson call for the Browns struggle against the tight end at times. He had a half-decent line against a team in the Bucs that are fairly solid against tight ends.
Yeah, we think New Orleans is going to throw the ball, and so they're going to spread the wealth. I know Thomas got a lot of targets, a lot of catches. Kamara's going to get his work out of the backfield as well, or even lined up sometimes wide. So, but let's not forget about Ben Watson, again, at a position that's pretty scarce right now across the league with all the injuries and stuff at the position. So Ben Watson, even though he's, year 16, year 17, whatever he's at, we still – New Orleans saw something in him, brought him in, had a decent stat line. I like Ben Watson, you know, against Cleveland. Yep.
All right, the Chiefs-Steelers here in Pittsburgh. This is the highest over-under, 53. Pittsburgh favored by 5. I don't think there's a ton of analysis we need in this one. You know the players, Mahomes, Tyreek Hill. Travis Kelce should get a little bit better than he did last week. Roethlisberger saying he's got an elbow or whatever is just Roethlisberger being Roethlisberger. He's always got something, some excuse. He's falling down every single freaking play.
That's about right with Big Ben. That's about what he does. That's his move. Yeah, and lets everybody know about it too, right? Everybody has to know that he's hurt and he's gutting it out. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to play a lot of Patrick Mahomes. I'm looking over at the whole slate, and, I mean, 53 over-under. I really I'm a big fan of this kid. Like, he's got that cannon of an arm. They've got the play, you know, the play calls for him. I like Mahomes here a whole lot. He might be my lock-button quarterback for the week.
Right on.
He's like the same. He's like – pretty much the same price as Ben, though. Like, that's
kind of weird.
He definitely
jumped in price.
Yeah.
I think the over-under on this one is really pushing a lot of these guys' prices up. So, yeah, you're going to have to pay if you want some of the top producers. All right, then we got the Dolphins taking on the Jets in New York. The Jets being helmed by 21-year-old Sam Darnold. He could be the real deal. The Dolphins, I don't know what to expect out of their defense. They were solid against the Titans, and that was, like we talked about, a bit of a debacle of a game. So I don't know that I'm going to lean on anyone in the Jets.
Maybe Robbie Anderson. I mean, he had a really nice catch last night in Detroit.
I know everybody's all about Anunua this week.
I'm off that train. I think that's a product of sort of bad Detroit defense. I don't really like that. This is actually one of the games that I'm not really picking a lot of guys from. This is more of the, you know, and if to get any weather up in New York, and this is more of the 17-13, right. 2013 traditional game between these two division rivals. This doesn't have much fantasy goodness for me.
And then, you know, stay away from the Dolphins' backfield until we know more about it. We're splitting carries between Drake and Gore. And, you know, if Drake doesn't break a 40-yard run, he's a bust. Kenny Stills, he's a decent price, even coming off of a big week. But the Jets have two half-decent corners. We'll see if Stills can repeat his production again.
Yeah, the Jets are probably going to be sound defensively most of the season. I mean, they had, again, getting to see them up close and personal, they have some talent on the defensive side of the ball, in linebacking core, safeties, corners. So this one is a stay away game for me. I don't have any good feeling on that. There's nobody in this game that I'm looking to play.
I've got the Panthers visiting the Falcons in the Dome in Atlanta, so should at least be immune from some of these weather issues as long as the hurricane doesn't hit Atlanta. 44.5 is the line. Atlanta favored by 6. Could this one turn into a shootout? Jason, what do you think on that?
Julio Jones kind of goes off against the Panthers. Mm-hmm. He has a couple years now. So, I mean,
got the target volume.
The Falcons offense did not look like they were together.
Matt Ryan, man, I don't know if he's got a rotator cuff injury or what, but that was some ugly duck throws.
Was it Devonta Freeman? Did he hurt his knee, right?
Yeah, he hurt his knee. If he's out, Coleman's a nice play, but he'll be choking.
Yeah. I mean, I like Coleman even if Freeman is in. I mean, Coleman to me is the better of the two backs. Like, I don't understand what they're doing in Atlanta. They should play Tevin Coleman. He's a better pass catcher. I mean, I like him overall. You're right, he's probably chalky this week. But Tevin Coleman is a talent that is, for whatever reason, they just want to have the timeshare with Freeman. But
yeah. But what really interests me here is the Falcons lost two major pieces of their defense, Keanu Neal and Deion Sims, their middle linebacker and safety. So, you know, that defense was, you know, a little bit above average with those guys. Without them, there's not much depth. That's where I'm going at. This could turn into a shootout.
Just get a lot of McCaffrey and Funches.
Yep.
A lot of McCaffrey this week. I think, you know, shout out to, like, Evan Silver. I think he talked about or put something out there about the way Atlanta's scheme is run, and they basically allow people to catch the football and then expect their linebackers to run after and make the play in open space. And so you lose a guy like Smith, you lose that star linebacker there. McCaffrey with Cam and Funchess. Carolina, a very good play this week for DFS. McCaffrey.
Nice game stack.
Exactly.
Take Cam McCaffrey and stack it with Julio.
Yep.
Running back. So, right, then the Chargers visiting Buffalo take on the Bills. 43 is the over/under. Chargers favored by 7.5 here. And I know the Bills were so bad, but they're bad on the road. They're coming back into their home building. Chargers and the Chargers, they always screw things up. I think a lot of people are going to get sniped here in survivor pools by the Bills.
There's always a little concern with the West Coast team going all the way across the East Coast. So there's always a little bit of that jet lag going on. But
the thing is, the Bills are going to make the game ugly. You know, they're going to slow the game down. They're going to interrupt what the Chargers, I think, want to do. And if they can succeed at that, you know, it's a crapshoot. And then you're just tossing a coin to who wins the game.
All they have to do is go use the Chargers run Melvin Gordon 3 times in a row, and then the Bills come back and run LeSean McCoy 3 times in a row.
And LeSean McCoy lit the Chargers up last year, even though it was in a blowout. You know, they couldn't corral him. So maybe the Bills learned something from that. And
I don't know. Buffalo's really bad. I mean, they're really, really bad.
Look how far Josh Allen can throw a football. Okay.
We'll see. Yes. We'll see if Joey Bosa is ready to go too.
Yeah, if he's ready, ready to go, they better get a life insurance policy for Josh Allen and Nathan Peterman and whoever else they want to put back there.
If Peterman starts, then I may backpedal on this.
Yeah, Melvin Ingram, if Bosa plays, I think if anything in this game, I like Melvin Gordon. I think he played well in week one. I like Melvin Gordon against what's going to be a 3-win Buffalo team.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon, he had like the second most touches out of a all the running backs last week.
Yeah, so. you're all over Melvin Gordon. You're going down with that ship. I mean, he's playing
the Bills. Player. Yeah, he's playing the Bills, so I'll be playing a lot of them this week too.
They do struggle against running backs.
Yeah.
Then we got the Cardinals taking on the Rams in L.A. 46 is the line. Rams favored really big here, 12.5. Vegas did not like what they saw out of Arizona week one. I did not either. Sam Bradford, man, I had him as him and Josh McCown as two quarterbacks in my Eliminator League for fantasy cares. I needed 2 points to survive and move on to week two. And he got me -1.5. So I'm out of that week one. That's disappointing. Yeah, there's concern there. David Johnson was not really utilized the way he had been under previous regimes. Just bad all around on the Cardinals side.
The Cardinals are in that camp of, like, some of these teams look absolutely lost. Like, they didn't know what they were doing. They needed more preseason or something. You know, Washington put them through their paces. David Johnson is a talent. He's a good player. But we talked about this last week. I've got the Rams in the Super Bowl. I know it's a lot of hype around them, but that defense is really something fierce. Give me no Arizona this week. Give me no Arizona. And this Sam Bradford's bound to get hurt probably this week with Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue in the middle there. And this might be the week that Sam Bradford gets laid out.
And that could be a good thing.
And the Josh Rosen era begins, yeah.
I think they probably – who did they have active? I didn't see that. It was Rosen and Giraffe Neck both active?
Giraffe Neck.
That's one I didn't monitor, so I'm not sure who's the number two there, because I thought they said Rosen was to start the preseason third string, but not that that's a big difference. The Rams here, Todd Gurley's kind of your main target.
Yeah, it was kind of weird with David Johnson, because he didn't get like completely game scripted out, but they just like stopped rushing the ball after they got down.
Yeah, and so even when they were passing, the stat I saw was that in the prior season of 2016 where he was so great, he ran something like 24% of his routes like outside of the backfield formation. Yeah. They moved him around, and this week it was like 11%. There was just no creativity there, and they didn't get their best playmaker in optimal positions. But yeah, so Rams. I think any Rams are fine, but Gurley's your main target.
I like maybe Cooper Kupp here on the receiving core. I don't know if I like Woods. I don't know if he's going to match up with Peterson in this matchup, but I like Cooper Kupp. He's just got something
there.
It's
interesting to see who the Cardinals decide is the wide receiver one there.
That's right. Really
telling as the season goes, is it Woods or Cooks?
The Cooks, yeah.
Other teams are going to try and get a handle on.
Yep.
Yeah. They'll spread it around. Jared Goff spreads it around. Sean McVay wants to spread it around. That's how he keeps his offense so unpredictable. It's like, all right, who is the number one?
Yeah, I think they had like 8, 8, and 9 targets apiece between the three receivers.
Mm-hmm. Cooper Kupp, it gets like the red zone targets though. Like
yeah, he did. He does.
I think he had 23 last year, and Davante Adams, for example, had 26. So he was like right up there with the guy.
And it was early
led
too.
The
like
NFL
it was the
touchdowns.
First 6 weeks for a rookie to get that kind of red zone share. They trust him.
Yeah.
All right, then you got your Lions taking on the 49ers in San Fran. 49er defense is not the Jets defense. So I think people are going to panic on the Lions and get off of them. I'm willing to give them another week here. Stafford, 8, Galladay, Marvin Jones. Sign me up for any of them. I'm really big on Galladay. I had a really high projection on him compared to most people coming into the year. So to see him put up 100-plus yards was really nice for me week one.
As long as Marvin Jones doesn't drop 2 touchdowns again.
It's really more like 3. I mean, it was, I'm not putting my U.S. American dollars on anything with the Lions. Yeah, it's kind of the same thing, right? They're going generally the East, going out West. It's a 4 p.m. Eastern start, one in the West. San Francisco home opener, Jimmy G. I don't – they showed me nothing. You know, there is some improvement from week one to week two usually in this stuff, but I'm off the Lions offense until proven otherwise. On San Francisco side, give me Jimmy G. And the guy I have as a sleeper who scored a touchdown in week one is Dante Pettis. Really good receiver coming out of Boise State. If Goodwin can't go, I know he's got the quad, and that's kind of a tricky injury.
Especially for a guy that relies on his speed.
Exactly. So Pettis is a guy you want to put in lineups. He's pretty affordable, if I remember right. I'm looking up his price right now. But Dante Pettis is a guy I'm looking at.
Okay, on FanDuel.
You know, lock and load there. You can do so much with your roster if you put him at the wide receiver spot.
And then, you know, the backs were pretty evenly split between Morris and Breida. Jason, do you have a preference on either of these guys?
Let me say.
Morris is kind of a dependable one, but Breida might get some red zone work. You know,
I don't really have a preference. They're kind of the same price. They kind of did the same. That wasn't a game I really watched a whole lot of. So the
49ers, I guess I would go for Breida then, given that he may see red zone work over Morris.
Yeah, there's probably other ways to look than, you know, San Francisco's backfield, but Pettis or even Kittle at tight end for San Francisco.
Kittle dropped a touchdown.
Yeah, so
Kittle. He was super involved. Kittle was.
Yes.
And Garoppolo comes from the Patriots, who are, you know, super. As long as he was there, they had Gronk. So you just use the tight end. That's the system that he learned in the NFL. So.
And the Lions they've struggled versus the tight end in the last year or so. The Jets don't use the tight end, or we might have seen that.
They did last year.
Yep.
What's that, Jason?
I said they did last year with ASJ.
Yeah, a little bit when they finally got him on the field.
Yeah, and he kept having his touchdowns called back by stupid
and
penalties.
Yeah, continuing this season.
Yeah.
We're almost to that game. So then we got Raiders Broncos, 45.5. Denver favored by 5.5 here. Yeah, it's a big rivalry, so it's hard to just love either team here. But I think the Raiders are a bit of a circus. There is the possibility that Gruden kind of gets in some people's face and gets them to rally here. Kind of a big game, even though it's only week two.
Or it backfires totally in his face. He goes to Denver and loses by 10. And so I've got, you know, no Amari Cooper, no Derek Carr, no Lynch. But on the Denver side, give me Freeman, we talked about earlier. Emmanuel Sanders, really good game.
Yeah,
I really liked him a lot. I like him again against Oakland here. Maybe even Demaryius Thomas as well. So give me the Denver offense going up against Oakland.
Yeah, on that same page. And hey, I think DT could catch a touchdown.
He's due. He's probably due. Yep.
As long as Cortland Sutton doesn't vulture it.
Go back to Emmanuel Sanders. Like, I have him like way above DT, like for the whole season.
Yeah, I bought so much Sanders in best ball. I was so happy week one with him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got him, like, in my season leagues. Like, I've got him all over the place. And, last week, I played him all over the place. And, like, my best line, I took Sanders out and put Hogan in. And that was, like, my best line. And then Sanders went off, and I was like, no.
Yeah. I did that with Mariota and Mahomes in a couple of spots. So I'm there with you. All right, then we got the Pats taking on the Jags in Jacksonville, 45 is the line. New England favored by 2.5, kind of surprising there. I guess they are the Patriots, but Jason, you're our Patriots expert. Give us your take.
I don't know if I said it on the podcast last week about Philip Dorsett, but this guy's.
Yeah, you mentioned him.
He's gonna be something here. You know, he was there last year. He knows the system.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who. It's going to be interesting to see which cornerbacks match up against which guys.
Right.
That Chris Hogan's last week, that was just fluky. Mm-hmm. Rex Burkhead, Jeremy Hill tore his ACL. I'm so glad, because I did not want to root for that guy. I was like, oh my God, Jeremy Hill is on my scene. What am I
doing? Ouch, man. Wow.
And, is Sony going to get involved this week? You think he's going to start?
I don't think so. If it is, it'll be like real limited. Rex is going to be the man. You know, he's the three down back there. They'll sprinkle the other guys in.
He wasn't expensive last week, but people thought he was going to go off. So they may be a little gun shy with Rex. And,
yeah.
Hopefully you're lucky enough to call the Patriots backfield correctly and not be trying to play Russian roulette with it.
Yeah. And then it'll be interesting to see if they put like Jalen Ramsey, like one of the actual corners on Gronkowski to try and like at least disrupt him.
Right.
I mean, they talked about doing it. Yeah, I was gonna say going back. Situations. Yeah, I was gonna say going back to the AFC title game last year. They did a little bit of that, last year in the playoffs. So, I mean, for me, just to jump in here, I like Jacksonville more than I like New England this game. This is a statement game early in the season. I like the Fournette, Yeldon, whoever ends up playing. Fournette sits this one out. I don't think he will. I think the injury was relatively minor. But I like Fournette. I like Keelan Cole, and I like Westbrook, D.D. Westbrook in this game. I like the Jags to go ahead and beat New England. I like
shootouts last year too. You know,
yeah,
I know the Jags have the vaunted defense, but there were games where they were, they were hitting the over for sure.
And I don't see I don't see this one as a shootout. I think Jacksonville has a bitter taste in their mouth still, and I know it's only a regular season game, but I don't really. I'm not using any Patriots. You know, sorry, Jason, but I'm not using any Patriots. Against the Jags at home.
So ASJ should catch a touchdown and not have it called back.
Let's this go. Game. Yeah, and then the one thing for me to monitor, obviously Leonard Fournette, he's maybe out. Everybody's going to flock to TJ Yeldon because Corey Grant really didn't see any work. For me, that could be a mistake because Grant wasn't part of the game plan, and he's not you're not just going to plug him in for Fournette. If they get to work with him in the set up the week and what they want to do with Grant and Yeldon, I think it's more of a 50-50 share. With Yeldon maintaining his passing back kind of role and Grant getting the goal line work. But we'll see. All right, then let's blitz through these last two games. You got the Sunday and Monday night games. Just give a kind of a quick take. Giants visiting the Cowboys, 42.5, Dallas favored by 3. This is probably an ugly one. I'm not sure. You know, Odell Beckham probably is a good bet. Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
He's got talent. But.
Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, stack up the Giants. I talked about Vegas a little bit before, but why? I mean, just because they're at home, Dallas, like the Giants to me are better than.
Anytime the Giants go to Dallas, like it just turns into such an ugly affair. Yeah, they make tons of mistakes. But, you know, it's one of those kind of matchups.
That's true, but I mean, there's nothing Dallas has shown me that, Give me all the Giants. This is ridiculous.
If they target Beckham like they did against a great defense in the Jags, the Cowboys are in trouble.
Right. And Saquon looked good. I mean, yeah, come on. There's
Saquon looked pretty darn good. Like, I didn't expect him to like come out like he did in that first game. I expected him to be a little bit slower start.
But especially against Jacksonville, yeah.
Yeah, he was, getting in Jalen Ramsey's face and stuff. Like, yeah. He was just balling out.
Easy rookie of the year if he's healthy.
Yeah. And then Seahawks visiting the Bears in Chicago, 43.5 is the line there. Another one that could be sloppy. There's a big storyline this week that Mitchell Trubisky can't throw to his left, and it's supported by numbers. It's crazy. Like,
Images too. I think I saw some pictures where there's a guy wide open and he's not throwing to the left. So
yeah. So the Bears, I had a lot of preseason love, and they showed some good things in the first half and some bad things in the second half. And I think there's reasons to be hopeful and reasons to be concerned.
And we learned that Jordan Howard catching 300 balls before and after practice works. Because
he looked great catching the ball.
Yeah. He looked really good. He's the target for me in this game. He looked really good. Again, another talented player there. I also like Allen Robinson in this game against Seattle, and they're just
Trubisky. His first look when he was in trouble was to Allen Robinson. He was like, "Let me get the ball to this guy because I know he's going to go after it."
Yeah, this is Monday night. It's up in Chicago. That's a tough place to play, even this early part of the season. Give me Jordan Howard, give me Allen Robinson, even Tarik Cohen.
And Khalil Mack getting a face. The Seahawks right side is a recipe for this.
Chicago D, lock it in. Lock it in. Yeah, they're probably going to get four sacks on Russell Wilson, maybe an interception or two, a fumble recovery. I mean, if you're playing a Thursday to Monday slate, go ahead with that Chicago D.
You're not going to play any Will Disley?
Where did that come from? Out of nowhere.
Yeah, he's a rookie. This Russell Wilson was talking about him like in training camp and stuff, but he's not an athletic freak or anything. He's just kind of just a dude.
Yeah, my Seahawks tight end scoring a touchdown take was correct. It was just the wrong tight end.
Yeah, hey, I was all over Vanette too, and oh well.
We'll see what happens. But all right, let's hit some fades real quick, guys. Guafo, are you ready with a fade?
Oh yeah, I'm totally ready. This is one's for my buddy and co-host here, Jason. I'm fading Tom Terrific, number 12, fading Tom Brady against the Jags on the road. This is setting up for a get right spot for the Jags and a little bit of payback. So I'm fading Tom Brady.
All right. Jason,
I'm stealing Quaffo's original thing here. I'm fading Zeke. I always want to try and fade like a high price guy. Mm-hmm. They're at home in a plus situation, you know, or as a favorite, a home favorite is what I was trying to say. And these are games where Zeke usually just goes off and has a great game. And in order for the Cowboys to win this game, like, he's going to have to do that. And I just don't see it happening.
Right. And that game script could go poorly quickly.
Yeah.
Very quickly. Yes.
All right. Then for me, I'm going to fade Phillip Rivers visiting the Bills. Bills defense better at home. Rivers coming west to east. You know, I'm smelling an upset here, and I don't like the Chargers anywhere near as much as everyone else this week. So that's gonna do it, guys. I hope you had good week ones. Let's set up well for week two and get after it. Waffo, Jason, thanks for being on with me.
No doubt. Thanks a lot, guys, and make sure to check out everything on Lineup Logic in the Slack chat and all those good things, and look for information throughout the week.
Yep, you can get us at patreon.com/lineuplogic if you want to become a subscriber. Follow us on Twitter. The Lineup Logic is at lineuplogicdfs. I'm at roto_Juan. Quaffo, you are at Spartanzilla. And Jason, hit me with yours because I don't remember.
It's at jmoshell, jaymoshell.
There you go. All right, guys, may the sports be with you.
See ya.